Turn with me to John chapter 14. In his book, Wild at Heart, John Eldredge tells of when his son, Blaine, made his big transition to first grade. That is a huge step for any child. He left the comfort and safety of his mother's side and spent all day at school with the big kids. Each evening, Blaine would tell of the day's adventures. He told of his new teacher, the gym class, what they played at recess. It was all so very exciting, and Blaine showed it. One night he came home, and instead of being all bubbly, he was very quiet. He wouldn't even look up. "What's wrong, Tiger?" his dad asked. He wouldn't say. "What happened?" He didn't want to talk about it. But finally, the story did come out. A bully. Another boy had pushed him down on the playground in front of all his friends and had tried to pick a fight. Tears were streaming down his face as he told the story. He was scared, and he had spent the rest of the day gripped by fear. Sometimes life can be scary, can it not? Sometimes life can be scary. What do you do? How do you handle it? You live with fear, gripped by fear, with that gnawing feeling in the pit of your stomach that something awful is about to happen. Is peace possible? The diagnosis comes back and it's bad. Everything seems to break down at once. There's a cutback at work. Family members make bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. What's next? The fear tightens around you. How do you loosen that grip of fear? Peace comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at John chapter 14. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Jesus is speaking. He says to the disciples and to us, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." How do you loosen the grip of fear? Loosen the grip of fear by trusting in the preparation Jesus has made for you. Keep on believing in Jesus. Don't ever quit. Jesus had told the disciples he was leaving them. And separation naturally raises questions. It raises loneliness. It raises fears. You're going? We haven't seen everything that we thought you were going to do. And you're saying you're going? And Jesus says to them, don't be troubled. Don't be intimidated by the situation. Believe in God. Trust in God. Believe in me. Trust in me, he said. Jesus equates himself with God the Father, for in essence, they are the same. One of the things that we need to get a hold of is that in nature, that in essence, when we talk about God, we talk about Jesus, they're not two inseparables, they're of the same. And we worship a triune God. What we're seeing in this passage is that Jesus is the same as God the Father. And so sometimes I think in our talking, in the way we express ourselves, that we actually kind of mix the two together. And in some sense, that's accurate, but in another sense, it's inaccurate in that God the Father never left the glory of heaven. But God the Son, who in the same nature, in the same essence, took on human flesh and came and lived among us. And then Jesus says that in God's domain, in his castle, are many dwelling places. You know, the old hymn, the old song, the mansion on the hilltop, that's really not accurate. According to what John is saying here, according to what Jesus is saying here, is that we're all going to be in there together. So if you would keep the noise down on your end of the hall. Listen, I don't understand how it's going to be exactly, but I do know this, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and where he is, we will be also. And so through his death and resurrection, he has prepared that place. The second part of the preparation Jesus has made is he will come and receive all those who believe to be in his presence. It is all about the work of Christ that we get to go to heaven. Jesus said, I will not forget you. Trust in the preparation Jesus has made for you. Back in February when we made the rush trip to Oklahoma, I didn't know how long we would be able to drive that first night. You know, when you're taking a not quite 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, sometimes they're you know, time goes, the expiration date comes, and you got to stop, you got to get out of this van, you got to get out of, and you say, man. But you know, I didn't start looking around and say, boy, I could pitch a tent over there. I wonder if I brought enough two-by-fours to erect a building real quick. No, we stopped at a motel. And in a motel, there were enough rooms for all of us. And that's what Jesus is saying. I've prepared a place for all of you who believe in me. Has he prepared a place for you? Are you trusting in that preparation Jesus has made for you? Are you trusting that Jesus and God are of the same essence, the same nature, the same holiness? Is there a place, is there a room for you? This morning, gauge your heart. Measure your heart for a moment. How troubled is your heart? Listen, the world is crazy. But I'm not going to let all that craziness trouble my heart. Because of who Christ is, all the things that happen in our world that can happen to us, not only in terms of internationally or nationally, but I'm talking about personally. I'm not going to let that trouble me. Because I know who has control, and Jesus is in control. Salvation is not about you, it's about Jesus. Never stop and think, well, because I've done this, I'm okay with God. No, because of what Jesus has done, I'm okay with God. I have to come in confession and repentance, but it's all about him. Do you have peace? Because Jesus has prepared a place for you. Loosen the grip. Loosen the grip of fear by knowing how you will get to God. Jesus is the way to God, the only way. My question then for you now is do you believe that? Jesus tells them that they do not know where he is going, but Thomas asks the question of the spiritually blind. We don't know how. We don't even know where. How are we supposed to get to where you're going? And Jesus simply says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the way. There is no other way. There is no other way that your sins can be forgiven except for the blood of Christ. There is no other way that your sins can be forgiven except when you come before him in confession and repentance. Then he says, I am the truth. Now, let me tell you, part of what our problem is that we think truth is relative. Well, that's true for you. No, there's truth. And it is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was there when God spoke it all into existence. And he is the way. You're never going to be good enough to earn your way into heaven. And our problem is that we look at each other and say, well, I'm better than he is. Well, I'm not quite as good as he is. It doesn't matter because the blood of Christ is all that matters. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father any other way. And Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. And I'm going to prepare a way for you. I am the way. He is the revelation of God, and because the life of God resides in him, we can trust in that. Verse 6 points back to chapter 1. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There it was in reverse. Life, because he was true light and way to the Father by dwelling among us in human form. Jesus then declares, if you know me, you know my Father. If you know me, you know my Father. Philip, not knowing when to be quiet, has to say something. He makes a practical statement. Show us the Father. Philip had failed to grasp the glory, the grace, and truth of God standing there unveiled before him. And sometimes I wonder if we don't have a common malady, that we fail to grasp the grace, the truth, the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus points out, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There is this complete unity between God the Father and Jesus the Son. This complete unity. Their nature, their essence cannot be separated. Jesus taking on human form makes it possible for us to enter into God's presence and know his peace. And so if you know Jesus, you know how to get to the Father in heaven. You know how to get there. Remember how navigating used to be? In the old days, if you were at point A and wanted to go to point B, and you knew where you were, but you didn't know where point B was exactly in terms of how to get there, you pulled out a map. Now we pull out our phone. The problem with both of those is that you may either misread or they just get it wrong. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. So it's better if you're going from point A to point B to have somebody in the car with you that's been from point A to point B, right? And Jesus said, I am that one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's not up to you to earn or figure out salvation. It's not up to you to deserve heaven by keeping a set of rules. It's about a relationship with Christ. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Was there a time of confession and repentance? Three questions that you ought to ask any cult member or false religion member is, what do you say about Jesus? Well, he was a good man. Well, at one time he was like us, but he did everything so right that now. No. He is eternal. There was no beginning. There'll be no end of Christ. The second question you ought to ask him is what do you say about the Bible? Let me tell you, if God could not get to us what we needed to know about him, that he had to wait 2,000 more years and talk to somebody like Joseph Smith or talk to somebody that got it all right that the Seventh-day Adventists read, then is he really big enough to save you? God's plan of salvation was enacted in Genesis chapter 3. And God has been working towards that. And then you need to ask them what they say about salvation. Because some would tell you that if you do certain things, that if you get everything right, that if you do all these things, mark these things off the list, you're going to be okay. No. It is about the blood of Christ shed for me. That's what salvation is about. And so peace is possible because it's not up to you. It's not up to me. And so if you are a Christian and the reply is, I'm trying, you neither understand grace nor do you have the peace of Christ. Universalism is out. There are, quote, Christian churches today teaching that at some point God's just going to pat us all on the head and say, it's okay, come on in. No, there is an eternal hell that is reserved for those who say, Jesus, I'll see ya. I don't need ya. Negotiating with the Father is out. This morning, are you growing in intimacy with Christ or are you treading water? Do you know Jesus? Loosen the grip of fear. That all may be well and good, you say, and you live in the peace of knowing someday you will be with Jesus in heaven, but what about right now? Loosen the grip of fear by living in the power of Christ for today. God's power is available. Jesus points his disciples past the present into the future. And he says, if you believe in Christ, if you believe in me, what he has done, you will do the same types of work even more. The spiritual reality of God taking on human form to break into history gives power for today. For today. The life eternal of the kingdom of God with Jesus as the mediator gives us power for today. Jesus was going to the Father, and we are to pray in his name in accord with his essence and character to bring him glory. It is all about the glory of God. It is all about the glory of Christ. It's not a way, it's not a formula, it's not if I say these right words, I've said the right words and you know, you get in. No, it's about the glory of God. So it's not so much about the right words, it's about the right heart attitude. And he says, if you pray in my name, in accord, in line with my essence and nature, for the glory of God, then I will give it. So we are to pray, we are to live in the power of Jesus today so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. During the troubled years of the Second World War, the Italian forces were driven out of North Africa. And in an effort to make the harbor unusable to the Allies, the Italians took huge barges, filled them with concrete, and caused them to be sunk across the entrance to the harbor. When the Allies entered, their problem was to remove those barges to make that port available to them. And so they did it in a very ingenious way. They took great gas tanks, huge structures that would hold thousands and thousands of gallons of fuel. And they sealed those empty tanks so that they would float, and they caused them to be floated over the place where the barges were below. And then chains were attached from the tanks to the barges, and when the tide came in, the barges were lifted up by the tanks floating with the tide. The barges were pulled from the sucking sand at the bottom of the bay, and it was then a relatively easy matter to remove them and make the harbor usable again. Think of that power. Think of that power. The barges were chained to the tanks. The tanks were dependent upon the tides. The tides were pulled by the gravitational attraction of the moon, and the moon was moving in accord with the whole cosmos. It was all the great work of God. Are you living today in that kind of power, that great work of God? Are you living in the power of Christ today? As we look toward the future, both personally and corporately, are we trusting in the great power of Christ? What robs you of peace? You say, well, it could be financial. It could be relational. It could be health. Trust in the power of Christ. It's not necessarily going to work out just like you want, but it's going to be okay. He's got this. He's got this. Do you want God to be glorified in every situation in your life? How do you pray? Who are you asking to be glorified? As we pray, asking for anything in the name of Jesus, the glorification of the Father is and must be the deciding principle. How do you pray? Are we really a praying church? Are you really a praying person? As you pray, are you praying inwardly in that all you're doing is asking God to fix this and that in your life? Or are you looking outward and praying outward? Are you praying that God will save people in your life? Are you praying for Him to be glorified? This is what Eldred said to his son. Blaine, look at me. As Blaine raised his tearful eyes to look at his father, shame was written all over his face. John said, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. The next time that bullet pushes you down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and I want you to hit him as hard as you possibly can. Not knowing the fear you are living with this morning, I encourage you to get up and hit that fear as hard as you can. Jesus has made preparation for you. You can trust that with your life. Jesus has gone before you to show you the way. You can trust that with your life. You can trust with your life that Jesus has gone before you because He is the life, the way, and the truth. Has He worked this week in your life to bring you to the point of deciding, to the point of trusting Him completely? Would you give Him your life? Would you give Him your troubles? Would you give Him all the things that worry you and rob you of that peace? Would you give Him your life and commit your life to following Him? Are you living in the power of Christ today? I don't know what He's calling you to, but I can ask if you are obeying Him in all of your life. Is your life marked more by fear or the peace of God?